Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for the Christian Science Monitor, read by Melissa Bonnet. This is being recorded on November 6th, 2024. Today we will be reading the following main articles. Cargo packages waiting for North American flights ignited. Officials blame Russia. An act of madness. Protests erupt after Netanyahu fires Defense Minister Yoav Gallant. Here's what it looks like when voting goes right. Conservatives swept the election. How did abortion measures do at the ballot? And following up with miscellaneous articles. We start with cargo packages waiting for North American flights ignited. Officials blame Russia. Intended for cargo planes headed to North America, the incendiary devices ignited while in storage in Germany and England, linking the plot to Russia. Western security officials say the Kremlin is sabotaging Ukraine's allies. Written by Vanessa Guerra from Associated Press in Warsaw, Poland. Western security officials suspect Russian intelligence was behind a plot to put incendiary devices in packages on cargo planes headed to North America, including one that caught fire at a courier hub in Germany and another that ignited in a warehouse in England. Poland said last month that it has arrested four people suspected to be linked to a foreign intelligence operation that carried out sabotage and is searching for two others. Lithuania's prosecutor general, Nida Gruškin, said November 4th, there were an unspecified number of people detained in several countries, offering no elaboration. The events come as Western officials say they are seeing an intensification of hybrid war of sabotage by Russia targeting Ukraine's allies, including election disinformation and arson attacks in Europe this year. Several officials said they believe the attacks were the work of Russian military intelligence, the GRU, although Moscow denied involvement. The FBI said hoax bomb threats at polling locations across several states on United States Election Day appeared to originate from Russian email domains, though federal cybersecurity officials cautioned that the culprits were not necessarily Russian. Poland's Internal Security Agency, or ABW, says that incidents in Poland, as well as other EU and NATO members, had intensified this year. ABW believes they are initiated and coordinated by the Russian Special Services, which so far, 20 people have been charged in investigations led by the prosecutor's office, the ABW, and police. Polish prosecutor Katarzyna Kalo-Jazweska said the investigation focuses on foreign agents conducting acts of sabotage, including damaging industrial facilities or critical infrastructure, such as airports, airplanes, and other vehicles, as well as arson, using self-combustible parcels sent to EU countries and the UK that would ignite during road or air transport. She added that the group tested a channel for sending such parcels to the United States and Canada. The Wall Street Journal first reported the details of the cargo plane incidents. The U.S. Transportation Security Administration said it has put extra security measures in place in recent months for certain cargo shipments heading to the U.S. Quote, we continually adjust our security posture as appropriate, and promptly share any and all relevant information with our industry partners, to include requirements and recommendations that help them reduce risk, the TSA said. There was no active threat targeting flights heading to the United States, according to a U.S. official who was not authorized to comment publicly. Dirk Heinrichs, a spokesperson for DHL in Germany, said in an emailed statement to the Associated Press that the company could not provide details about the matter, but was, quote, fully cooperating with the relevant authorities to protect our people, our network, and our customers' shipments, end quote. The head of Britain's domestic intelligence agency, MI5, said last month the UK is facing a, quote, staggering rise, end quote, in attempts at assassination, sabotage, and other crimes on its soil by Russia as well as Iran. Ms. Kalo Jezwuska said October 25th that parcels with camouflaged explosives were sent via cargo companies to EU countries and Britain to, quote, test the transfer channel for such parcels, end quote. They were ultimately destined for the U.S. and Canada. The incendiary devices in Germany and the UK both ignited in July. One was at a stopover at a DHL logistics center at an airport in the city of Leipzig, according to Thomas Haldenwang, head of the German intelligence service. The German news agency DPA reported that the connecting flight containing the package, which came from one of the Baltic nations, was delayed in Leipzig and was on the ground when it ignited and set fire to a freight container. British counterterrorism police are investigating whether Russian agents were behind an incendiary device in a parcel that caught fire in a DHL warehouse in Minworth, near Birmingham, in central England, on July 22nd. The incident, first reported by the Guardian newspaper and German broadcasters, was similar to the one in Germany. The Polish newspaper Gazeta Wyborcza also reported that a fire was reported in a courier truck near Warsaw. Quote, "We are observing aggressive action by the Russian intelligence services, in particular, Russian espionage and sabotage in Germany are on the rise, both quantitatively and qualitatively," Haldenwang told the German Bundestag, or Parliament, last month, while discussing the Leipzig incident. Quote, "The activities of Russian intelligence services in the real world, as well as in cyberspace, show that Germany is the focus of Russia's hybrid war against Western democracies," he added. Quote, "Russia is using its entire toolbox, from influencing political discussions within Germany to cyber attacks against critical infrastructure and sabotage. Russia's willingness to use force proves that it is also willing to put human lives at risk," end quote. In a rare public speech setting out the major threats to the UK, MI5 Director General Ken McCallum said, quote, "The GRU in particular is on a sustained mission to generate mayhem on British and European streets. We've seen arson, sabotage, and more. Dangerous actions conducted with increasing recklessness," end quote. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov on November 4th called media reports about the alleged sabotage plot an example of a, quote, "vague fabrication," end quote. An act of madness. Protests erupt after Netanyahu fires Defense Minister Yoav Gallant. Yoav Gallant was a moderating force in the Netanyahu government and had a strong relationship with U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, His firing comes as Israel wages war on Gaza, Lebanon, and on multiple other fronts. Written by Yosef Fetterman from Associated Press in Jerusalem. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on November 5th dismissed his popular defense minister, Yoav Gallant, in a surprise announcement that came as the country is embroiled in wars on multiple fronts across the region. The move sparked protests across the country, including a mass gathering that paralyzed central Tel Aviv. Mr. Netanyahu and Mr. Gallant have repeatedly been at odds over the war in Gaza, but Mr. Netanyahu had avoided firing his rival before taking the step as the world's attention was focused on the U.S. presidential election. Mr. Netanyahu cited, quote, significant gaps, end quote, and a, quote, crisis of trust, end quote, in his November 5th evening announcement as he replaced Mr. Gallant with a longtime loyalist. Quote, in the midst of a war, more than ever, full trust is required between the prime minister and defense minister, Mr. Netanyahu said. Quote, unfortunately, although in the first months of the campaign there was such trust and there was very fruitful work, during the last months this trust cracked between me and the defense minister, end quote. In the early days of the war, Israel's leadership presented a unified front as it responded to Hamas's October 7th, 2023 attack. But as the war has dragged on and spread to Lebanon, key policy differences have emerged. While Mr. Netanyahu has called for continued military pressure on Hamas, Mr. Gallant had taken a more pragmatic approach, saying that military force has created the necessary conditions for at least a temporary diplomatic deal that could bring home hostages held by the militant group. In a late-night news conference broadcast on national TV, Mr. Gallant said that he had disagreed with Mr. Netanyahu over three main issues: the need to end controversial exemptions from the military draft for ultra-Orthodox men, the urgent need for a hostage deal, and the need to establish an official commission of inquiry into the political and security failures of October 7th, when Hamas militants stormed into Israel and killed 1,200 people and took 250 other hostages. Israel estimates that about 100 hostages remain in captivity, only about 65 of them still alive. With military service compulsory for most Jews, Mr. Gallant said that drafting the ultra-Orthodox was both an issue of fairness and security at a time when Israel faces so many challenges. He said a hostage deal was needed, quote, as quickly as possible when they were still alive, end quote, and said there will be, quote, no forgiveness, end quote, for neglecting them. And he said a full investigation into the events of October 7th was the only way to ensure the government would learn the proper lessons. Mr. Netanyahu has rejected calls for an inquiry, saying it should only take place when the war is over. Mr. Gallant ended his statement by honoring the soldiers serving in the army and those who have died in the wars. He held up his hand and saluted as he walked away from the podium. Many of the families of the hostages, along with tens of thousands of people who have joined anti-government protests, accuse Mr. Netanyahu of scuttling a deal in order to maintain his hold on power. Mr. Netanyahu's hardline partners have threatened to bring down the government if he makes concessions to Hamas, raising the risk of early elections at a time when the prime minister's popularity is low. This week, authorities announced the arrest of an aide of Mr. Netanyahu on suspicion of leaking classified information to foreign media that gave the prime minister political cover as hostage talks fell apart. Quote, Firing Gallant in the middle of a war is an act of madness, end quote. Opposition leader Yair Lapid said on X, quote, Netanyahu is selling Israel's security and the Israeli army soldiers for a disgraceful political survival, end quote. Israel's president, Isaac Herzog, whose largely ceremonial office is meant to help unify the country, called the dismissal, quote, the last thing Israel needs, end quote. The Grassroots Forum, representing hostage families, said Mr. Gallant's dismissal is, quote, a direct continuation of the efforts to torpedo the abductee deal, end quote. Within hours, thousands of protesters gathered in central Tel Aviv, blocking the city's main highway and crippling traffic. The crowd, many holding blue and white Israeli flags and others blowing whistles and pounding drums, gathered around multiple bonfires. Several thousand people demonstrated outside Mr. Netanyahu's home in Jerusalem and elsewhere in the city. Protesters gathered and blocked roads in several other spots across the country, and Israeli TV stations showed images of police scuffling with protesters. The dismissal comes at a delicate time. Israeli troops remain bogged down in Gaza over a year after invading the territory in a war that has killed over 43,000 Palestinians, including tens of thousands of civilians, and caused widespread destruction, while Israeli ground troops are pressing ahead with a month-old ground invasion against Hezbollah militants in Lebanon. Hundreds of Israeli soldiers have been killed in the fighting. Israel also has clashed with Iranian-backed groups in Iraq, Syria, and Yemen, and is facing the possibility of another strike by Iran. Iran has vowed to avenge an Israeli strike that came in response to an October 1st Iranian missile attack, itself a reprisal for earlier Israeli attacks on Iranian-linked targets. On November 4th, Mr. Gallant announced he had sent out thousands of draft notices to young ultra-Orthodox men. The system of exemptions for religious men has bred widespread resentment among the secular majority, and Israel's Supreme Court has ordered the government to scrap the system. Mr. Netanyahu, whose governing coalition depends on ultra-Orthodox parties, has not yet implemented the order. Channel 13 TV said Mr. Netanyahu had also taken advantage of the U.S. election, when American attention is focused elsewhere, to dismiss his rival. The White House on November 5th declined to comment on the firing, but called Mr. Gallant, quote, an important partner on all matters related to the defense of Israel. As close partners, we will continue to work collaboratively with Israel's next Minister of Defense, the White House National Security Council said. Mr. Gallant, a former general with a gruff, no-nonsense demeanor, has emerged as the most popular figure with the public in Israel's wartime government. Mr. Gallant has worn a simple black-buttoned shirt throughout the war in a sign of sorrow over the October 7 attack and developed a strong relationship with his U.S. counterpart, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. A previous attempt by Mr. Netanyahu to fire Mr. Gallant in March 2023 sparked widespread street protests against Mr. Netanyahu. He also flirted with the idea of dismissing Mr. Gallant over the summer, but held off until the announcement on November 5th. Israel Katz, his replacement, currently serves as foreign minister and is a longtime Netanyahu loyalist and veteran cabinet minister. Mr. Katz thanked Mr. Netanyahu and pledged to lead the security establishment to victory in the wars against Israel's enemies. Mr. Katz was a junior officer in the military decades ago and has little military experience, though he has been a key member of Mr. Netanyahu's security cabinet over the years. Gideon Saar, a former Netanyahu rival who rejoined the government in September, will take the foreign affairs post. Mr. Netanyahu has a long history of neutralizing his rivals. In his statement, he claimed he had made, quote, many attempts, end quote, to bridge the gaps with Mr. Gallant, quote, but they kept getting wider. Our enemies enjoyed it and derived a lot of benefit from it, he said. Here's what it looks like when voting goes right. As by Ken Macon, who is a cultural commentator, in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hours after the polls had closed in North Carolina, there were traces of blue and red in the uptown skyline. Multicolored lights were draped near the top of the Truist Center skyscraper, and depending on your perspective, the Truist marquee almost looked like a prediction for the GOP nominee. Meanwhile, the Mecklenburg County Board of Elections building looked like uptown Charlotte during rush hour. There were cars streaming in and out, dropping off bags and ballots. Even as major news outlets were poised to announce North Carolina's winner, these champions of democracy were still at work. At the center of it all was a steady hand. The Boes, B-O-E's, Public Information Director Kristen Mavromis, who has worked in this space since 1996, quote, it's still a thrill for us, but this isn't my first rodeo, Ms. Mavromatis said with a confident smile. Quote, I've been here since 4 a.m., dot, dot, dot. I wish people would do this at every election, not just the presidential election, end quote. Part of that excitement might have been precarious if the 2020 presidential election was any indication. It was a time of conspiracy theories and election intimidation that left elections officials on edge. And there was always that possibility this time, too. The fact that Mr. Trump won, and handily, undercut potential narratives of conspiracy and fraud. Instead, this election was allowed to be what it was, a reminder of the remarkable process that fuels American elections without bias, and the remarkable men and women who make that possible. The Mecklenburg County Board of Elections building was just one of the hundreds of places across the country that made sure voters' voices were heard. Thankfully, Tuesday night was a lot more calm than 2020. Quote, we had some security at certain precincts, and we heard rumors that people left because they didn't feel comfortable with the police being there. This is the South, said Ms. Mavromatis. Quote, but all in all, this was a great day and nothing like 2020. I'm thankful and grateful. Yeah, 2020 was bad, dot, dot, dot. It was a different time, she added. Quote, this seemed to head back to a place where we didn't have the hostility among people, and we'll just leave it at that, end quote. Somewhere in this democratic and oxymoronic mix of routineness and uncertainty, there was room for newness. As a host of bright red bags were hoisted onto a nearby desk, one of the election workers on hand yelled, quote, 11, end quote. It wasn't a bingo game, but there was a large list with numbers of all of the precincts. It was volunteer Ghazala Johnston's responsibility to mark off all 196 precincts as they came in. Quote, I had a fun job, she said. Ms. Johnston, an Iranian-American, was inspired to help at the Board of Elections because of the canvassing she sees every election season. Quote, anytime I go into a campaign and I see all the people working there, I'm kind of inspired by them because they're all committed to the job they have, Ms. Johnston said. Quote, and I always kind of leave thinking, oh, that would be kind of cool. You're interacting with people. You're promoting democracy. You're doing a really cool civic duty, she added. Quote, this time I said instead of talking about it, I'm going to actually do something, end quote. She wanted to help out at the polling sites, but her schedule conflicted with the training dates. Fortunately, another opportunity opened up at the main hub. Quote, my family and I were immigrants. They came to America when I was 2 years old, so I take a lot of pride in voting, she said. Quote, being on this side and supporting the democratic process seemed kind of exciting and cool to do, dot, dot, dot. I would do it again, end quote. Conservatives swept the election. How did abortion measures do at the ballot? With abortion rights on the ballot in 10 states, broader protections prevailed in 7 but lost in 3, Florida, Nebraska, and South Dakota. Written by Jeff Mulvihill and Christine Fernando from Associated Press in Washington. Voters in Missouri cleared the way to undo one of the nation's most restrictive abortion bans in one of 7 victories for abortion rights advocates, while Florida, Nebraska, and South Dakota defeated similar constitutional amendments, leaving bans in place. Abortion rights amendments also passed in Arizona, Colorado, Maryland, and Montana. Nevada voters also approved an amendment, but they'll need to pass it again in 2026 for it to take effect. Another that bans discrimination on the basis of, quote, pregnancy outcomes, end quote, prevailed in New York. The results include firsts for the abortion landscape, which underwent a seismic shift in 2022 when the United States Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, a ruling that ended a nationwide right to abortion and cleared the way for bans to take effect in most Republican-controlled states. They also came in the same election that Republican Donald Trump won the presidency. Among his inconsistent positions on abortion has been an insistence that it's an issue best left to the states. Still, the president can have a major impact on abortion policy through executive action. In the meantime, Missouri is positioned to be the first state where a vote will undo a ban on abortion at all stages of pregnancy, with an amendment that would allow lawmakers to restrict abortions only past the point of a fetus's viability, usually considered after 21 weeks, although there's no exact defined time frame. But the ban and other restrictive laws are not automatically repealed. Advocates now have to ask courts to overturn laws to square with the new amendment. Quote, today, Missourians made history and sent a clear message. Decisions around pregnancy, including abortion, birth control, and miscarriage care, are personal and private and should be left up to patients and their families, not politicians. End quote. Rachel Sweet, campaign manager of Missourians for Constitutional Freedom, said in a statement, roughly half of Missouri's voters said abortion should be legal in all or most cases, according to AP VoteCast, a survey of more than 2,200 of the state's voters. But only about 1 in 10 said abortion should be illegal in all cases. Nearly 4 in 10 said abortion should be illegal in most cases. Bans remain in place in 3 states after votes. Florida, Nebraska, and South Dakota became the first states since Roe was overturned where abortion proponents prevailed on a ballot measure. Most voters supported the Florida measure, but it fell short of the required 60% to pass constitutional amendments in the state. Most states require a simple majority. The result was a political win for Governor Ron DeSantis, a Republican with a national profile who had steered state GOP funds to the case, to the cause. His administration has weighed in, too, with a campaign against the measure, investigators questioning people who signed petitions to add it to the ballot, and threats to TV stations that aired one commercial supporting it. Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the national anti-abortion group SBA, Pro-Life America, said in a statement that the result is, quote, a momentous victory for life in Florida and for our entire country, end quote, praising Mr. DeSantis for leading the charge against the measure. The defeat makes permanent a shift in the southern abortion landscape that began when the state's six-week ban took effect in May. That removed Florida as a destination for abortion for many women from nearby states with deeper bans, and also led to far more women from the state traveling to obtain abortion. The nearest states with looser restrictions are North Carolina and Virginia, hundreds of miles away. Quote, the reality is because of Florida's constitution, a minority of Florida voters have decided Amendment 4 will not be adopted, said Lauren Brenzel. Campaign director for the Yes on 4 campaign said while wiping away tears, quote, the reality is a majority of Floridians just voted to end Florida's abortion ban, end quote. In South Dakota, another state with a ban on abortion throughout pregnancy, with some exceptions, the defeat of an abortion measure was more decisive. It would have allowed some regulations related to the health of the woman after 12 weeks. Because of that wrinkle, most national abortion rights groups did not support it. Voters in Nebraska adopted a measure that allows more abortion restrictions and enshrines the state's current 12-week ban and rejected a competing measure that would have ensured abortion rights. Other states guaranteed abortion rights. Arizona's amendment will mean replacing the current law that bans abortion after the first 15 weeks of pregnancy. The new measure ensures abortion access until viability. A ballot measure there gained momentum after a state Supreme Court ruling in April found that the state could enforce a strict abortion ban adopted in 1864. Some GOP lawmakers joined with Democrats to repeal the law before it could be enforced. In Maryland, the abortion rights amendment is a legal change that won't make an immediate difference to abortion access in a state that already allows it. It's a similar situation in Montana, where abortion is already legal until viability. The Colorado measure exceeded the 55% of support required to pass. Besides enshrining access, it also undoes an earlier amendment that barred using state and local government funding for abortion, opening the possibility of state Medicaid and government employee insurance plans covering care. A New York equal rights law that abortion rights groups say will bolster abortion rights also passed. It doesn't contain the word, quote, abortion, end quote, but rather bans discrimination on the basis of, quote, pregnancy outcomes and reproductive health care and autonomy, end quote. Sasha Ahuja, campaign director of New Yorkers for Equal Rights, called the result, quote, a monumental victory for all New Yorkers, end quote. And a vote against opponents who, she says, used misleading parental rights and anti-trans messages to thwart the measure. The results end a win streak for abortion rights advocates. Until November 5th, abortion rights advocates had prevailed on all 7 measures that had appeared on statewide ballots since the fall of Roe. The abortion rights campaigns have a big fundraising advantage this year. Their opponents' efforts are focused on portraying the amendments as too extreme rather than abortion as immoral. Currently, 13 states are enforcing bans at all stages of pregnancy, with some exceptions. 4 more bar abortion in most cases after about 6 weeks of pregnancy, before women often realize they're pregnant. Despite the bans, the number of monthly abortions in the U.S. has risen slightly because of the growing use of abortion pills and organized efforts to help women travel for abortion. Still, advocates say the bans have reduced access, especially for lower-income and minority residents of the states with bans. The issue is resonating with voters. About 1/4 said abortion policy was the single most important factor for their vote, according to AP VoteCast, a sweeping survey of more than 110,000 voters nationwide. Close to half said it was an important factor, but not the most important. Just over 1 in 10 said it was a minor factor. The outcomes of ballot initiatives that sought to overturn strict abortion bans in Florida and Missouri were very important to a majority of voters in the states. More than half of Florida voters identified the result of the amendment as very important, while roughly 6 in 10 of Missouri voters said the same, the survey found. Voter nostalgia for harmony, balance. Exit polls in the U.S. election hint at a strong desire for a balanced economy and civic peace, written by the Monitor's editorial board. America's presidential elections are a great survey of public opinion as well as a call to action. Yet while Donald President won both the popular vote and the Electoral College on November 5th, it could be that the exit polls will drive the course of his second term. The theme of those polls, Americans seek a restoration of past norms of balance or harmony, balance in the economy for Trump supporters and for those who voted for Kamala Harris, harmony in democratic norms. Among the third of voters who identified the economy as their primary concern, 79% chose Mr. Trump, according to Edison Research's exit polls. More specifically, 73% who see inflation as a severe hardship voted for the Republican candidate. They want to bring prices back to pre-pandemic levels and lower their higher cost of living. For those who chose Ms. Harris, a majority are worried far more about the state of democracy than about the economy. They seek the civility and rule of law that were more common before Mr. Trump's first term. The president-elect thanked, quote, the American people, end quote, for his victory and added, quote, we're going to help our country heal, end quote. That sentiment, if followed, would be a step toward those desires for balance and harmony. That rare upbeat and unifying message pointed to another aspect of the exit polls. About 6 in 10 voters say the country's best days are ahead. In 11 key states, inflation dominated the concerns of voters. While the rate of price increases is now low, about 2%, the persistence of high prices from gasoline to housing drove many people to vote for the GOP candidate. Credit card debt, for example, was at a historic high in August, as inflated prices have pushed people to charge more when buying everyday items. Quote, with inflation and 2 wars raging abroad, many voters fondly recalled a pre-pandemic world that was mostly at peace and economically prosperous under Trump, wrote journalist Michael Hirsch in Foreign Policy. Many economists say Mr. Trump's proposed policies, such as tariffs on imported goods, could increase inflation. The exit polls offer the opportunity to temper his agenda and acknowledge the desire of nearly half the voters to restore democratic norms. Merely offering to help the country heal was a first step. Why Latino voters shifted Republican to help elect Donald Trump, by Jackie Valley and Sarah Matusik, who are both staff writers in Las Vegas and Phoenix. Former President Donald Trump's resounding victory appears buoyed by a key constituency, Latino voters, whose economic concerns may have outweighed his harsh rhetoric surrounding immigration. As of Wednesday afternoon, an NBC News exit poll suggests 46% of Latino voters went Republican in this election. And that share was even greater, 55% among Latino men. Those percentages significantly exceed Mr. Trump's performance in the 2020 election, when the same exit poll estimated Republican support from 32% of Latino voters and 36% of Latino men. Experts caution against reading too much into exit polls, which may be skewed given the large share of citizens voting early or by mail ballot. On top of that, Latinos are not a monolithic voting bloc, says John Tooman, Executive Associate Dean in Liberal Arts and Political Science Professor at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Their views can differ based on everything from ancestry and country of origin to religion and housing situations. And even with gains among Latino voters, Republican victories are largely the result of overwhelming support among white voters. 57% of white voters, who make up the bulk of the electorate, cast ballots favoring the GOP, according to the NBC News exit poll. Still, the big question now is what motivated the apparent surge of Republican support from Latino voters, who by some estimates could make up nearly 15% of the U.S. electorate this year. In certain battleground states, that percentage is even higher. Latinos were expected to represent a quarter of Arizona voters. In Nevada, they make up about one in every five voters. Quote, for many different demographic groups, including Latinos, inflation was just really a big driving factor, says Dr. Tooman, who has researched Latino voters. Quote, it was very hard for Biden and then Harris, who took over as a candidate very late in the campaign, to push back against that narrative. End quote. The economy is critical, but there are other factors too. 85% of Latino voters cited the economy as, quote, very important, end quote, in the presidential election, topping all other issues, according to a Pew Research Center survey released in September. Outside a Phoenix vote center Tuesday, an I voted sticker is affixed to the brim of Sebastian Mario's baseball cap. The first-time voter and Mexican-born American chose Mr. Trump on the economy. Quote, now that I'm an adult and I've got to pay my own bills, I feel like it's really hard on people's pockets, said the 20-something plumber. Quote, I actually didn't like Trump, he clarified. However, quote, I like his plan better, end quote. Mr. Mario thought to himself as he voted, don't make me regret this. Jesus Marquez, a conservative strategist with the American Christian Caucus, agrees that economic concerns propelled more Latino voters toward Mr. Trump and Republicans, a trend afoot for several election cycles now, but he contends it's more than that. Mr. Marquez says many Latino voters want stronger border security and greater parental rights, among other issues. Mr. Trump, he says, is the candidate who delivered that message in an unwavering fashion. On the Democratic side, Ms. Harris devoted a lot of time and messaging to reproductive rights, which Mr. Marquez says didn't necessarily have the same tug as other policy concerns among Latino voters. Quote, there's a lot of women who support abortion up until a certain stage, but they care more for other things, he says. Quote, they care more for providing for the family, for food, for the economy, and for security, end quote. Complex views about Trump's rhetoric. Democrats, however, hoped Mr. Trump's incendiary language about illegal immigration and plans for mass deportations would pull voters to their side. Vice President Kamala Harris routinely condemned such rhetoric, including that immigrants are, quote, poisoning the blood of our country, end quote. And in the waning days of the campaign, a comedian at Mr. Trump's Madison Square Garden rally called Puerto Rico a, quote, floating island of garbage, end quote. For some, that language did make a difference. Joshua Barrios, a Puerto Rican from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, was an undecided voter for much of the election until he saw a clip of comedian Tony Hinchcliffe's performance at Mr. Trump's rally. He cast his vote for Ms. Harris. The rhetoric wasn't enough to move the needle for other voters, though. In Aurora, Colorado, Denise Schiaffino was also drawn to Mr. Trump on the economy. The Mexican-born Republican lost her job in the mortgage industry in 2022 as interest rates began to climb. But she's also seen how her city has grappled with an influx of new South American immigrants, including suspects of crimes who officials have linked to a Venezuelan gang. Quote, I don't believe in just coming and then trying to get everything for free, she said, in line at a Trump rally last month. Hardworking Americans, meanwhile, quote, don't get any of that help, end quote. In Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, longtime Democrat Evelyn Agosto voted for Joe Biden in 2020. But during the pandemic, vaccine mandates drove her away from the party, and she changed her affiliation to Republican. On Tuesday, she voted for Mr. Trump. Ms. Agosto, born in Puerto Rico, found the mockery of her native island at the recent Trump rally in Madison Square Garden distasteful, but it didn't lead her to reconsider her vote. Quote, I wouldn't vote for the other party just because the comedian messed up, Ms. Agosto said. Quote, I'm sticking with my beliefs, end quote. And on the Christian Science Perspective page, a single-eyed view. As we come to understand God as the one true mind, we discover more of our dominion over distractions and our innate ability to focus, by Paul Sedan. 6,000 thoughts. That's how many some experts say we think each day. So it's not surprising if we sometimes find our thoughts drifting. And in today's tech-heavy culture, distractions are more numerous and persistent than ever. There is a solution, and it's a simple one, the single eye. In his Sermon on the Mount, Christ Jesus says, quote, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. End quote from Matthew 6, line 22. Clearly, he is talking about much more than the physical faculty of sight. What does it mean for the eye to be single? The glossary of the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, defines eyes as spiritual discernment, not material, but mental, by Mary Baker Eddy, page 586. Might not have a single eye mean keeping our focus on what is true, on what God made? If we are distracted, one meaning of the prefix dis, meaning the opposite of, we're not being attracted to Spirit, God, the cause and creator of all that really exists. As God's image and likeness, his purely spiritual reflection, see Genesis 1, 26 and 27, You and I don't need to get focused. We already include focus. A reflection doesn't have a mind of its own to be distracted. There's only one infinite mind, God, who is totally good, and this mind is laser focused on each of its ideas. And as mind's idea, each of us reflects or expresses this pure focus on good. It cannot be lost or gained. It just is, because in reality, there is nothing else on which to focus. What we need to do is claim our coexistence with this mind, which can never be confused, troubled, uncertain, or distracted. As the Bible says, quote, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," end quote, from Philippians 2, line 5. Jesus refused to have any other mind than mind, with a capital M. He refused to act on any thoughts that did not come from that mind. Letting mind govern the focus of our attention is natural. In reality, we have no choice, since we are the very expression of mind. However, what the Bible terms the carnal mind, or the belief in a mind apart from God, would tempt us to think we have a personal mind that can be confused or lack attention. Years ago, I was living in New York City when my upstairs neighbor sublet the apartment above me. The new tenant liked to work late into the night. Every evening after I retired, I would be kept awake by pounding on the floor and loud music. To say I was distracted would be an understatement. I tried to resolve the issue in several ways, including asking him to lower the volume of the music, inviting him to lunch to talk about the problem, and even enlisting our landlord as a go-between. Nothing helped. One night, in a fit of rage, I sprinted upstairs and banged on the man's door, shouting at him to turn the music down. The noise continued. Stymied, I retreated to my own space and lay in bed, wondering what to do next. Clearly, prayer, which should have been my first resort, was the only remaining option. In desperation, I slowly repeated the Lord's Prayer, letting each line sink deeply into consciousness. What makes this prayer so helpful is that it assures us of present spiritual perfection. The line, "Thy kingdom come," is interpreted in Science and Health as, quote, "Thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present," end quote, page 16. This inspires us to accept not only God's allness, but also his immediacy. It affirms God's peace and power as the only reality, now. By the time I finished the prayer, I felt calm. Enveloped in God's gentle embrace, I fell asleep. The next day, the owner of the loft reclaimed his space. The sublet tenant left, and the new occupant was as quiet as the proverbial mouse for the rest of the time I lived there. Whatever distractions we are dealing with, there remains one absolute fact. And that's really going on anywhere at any time. All that's really going on anywhere at any time is infinite good, and mind's focus on its own goodness can never be disturbed. We can demonstrate that undisturbed focus and bring harmony to our and others' experience by letting our eye be single, ever conscious of the divine mind and its perfectly harmonious ideas. Thank you for joining us for the Christian Science Monitor, read by Melissa Bonnet.
The content featured in this recording may not reflect the views of AfterSight or the presenter. For questions, concerns, or editorial feedback regarding the Christian Science Monitor, please contact them directly at customerservice@csmonitor.com or call 617-450-2300 Monday through Friday.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.